Blog Talk Radio. Son, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lights us up in the morning. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for the all that you give us, Lord God. For all to Jesus I surrender this morning. All to him I freely give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for the word that we're about, that's about to go forth. Because we're going to talk about your all, Lord. Even when we in our darkest moments in life, you are there with us. You are there through the sickness. You are there through the health. You are there through the ups. You are there through the downs. You are there through all much. And you are there through lean. You are there through everything, God. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it, God, because you gave me a do-over. You gave each of us a do-over. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we just got through Easter a couple weeks ago to know that our Savior is not dead. He has risen. He took our awful sins, all of our sins, to the cross. Not just some, but all. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure because Jesus paid it all on the cross for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning with me, y'all. Praise the Lord with me this morning. I didn't come on to preach. I came on to teach, but I just got that bubbling in my spirit that God gave his all for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Morning Glory Nation. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for that word. Hallelujah. I needed it. You know how you just need a word again when you go to hallelujah. Is that all again? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Hallelujah. It makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have a thank you, Jesus, in your spirit this morning? Father God, again, we ask you to increase. Lord, I ask you to please increase as this servant decreases. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be accessible in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength. You are my strength. You are my strength, and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God, and I give my all to you this morning, God. I give my all to you because you have given all to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits today. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, all. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. Woo, I'm filled up. I guess y'all like, she is on fire this morning. I am, because you got to get a word in. It makes your day. Woo, hallelujah. It makes your day. As the song says, I feel a breakthrough coming my way. It's a move of God that's going to make my day. I think it's going to change my day with miracles to perform. Whew, God got a breakthrough if I just keep holding on. And I know I done changed your words, Mr. Hutchins, but I love you. Hallelujah. And I know that the goodness of God endures continuously. Good morning again, everybody. Your filled up host is here as we get ready for Bible study this morning. And if you want to get your Bibles out, because we do that, that's what this is, Bible study. Get your Bibles out. We are going to be in Ruth chapter 1 through chapter 2. Our title is an encompassing title that covers the whole lesson, but it's coming out of the 52nd Psalm, and it's verse number 1. Because, you know, we got to put God first in everything that we do, because the enemy, he always just a little sneaky snake, slithering in, slithering out, going to and fro, that's what he says, to create havoc in the world. But we know that we have an all-encompassing God who has got his children covered. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. Don't let anybody take your peace or your joy today. Today, when that enemy comes at you like a flood, you know there's a standard already placed around you. Hallelujah. And it is God's all. So let's get started. And just a little overview, you know, my little book. And I tell anybody, get you one of these little books. They're the cutest little things. But it's so great for Bible study because it puts in your mind what you're going to be learning. And the word in the book is All 66 Books Explained and Applied. Know your Bible. That's what it's called. Know your Bible. So let's know our Bible this morning. And in the book of Ruth, it says, not stated. Some suggest that Samuel wrote Ruth. The date was Ruth, the great-grandmother of King David, who reigned approximately 1010 through 970 B.C., probably lived around 1100 B.C., about 1,000 or so years before Jesus. And so to describe Ruth in 10 words or less, loyal daughter-in-law pictures God's faithfulness, love, and care. I love that. Let's go that again. The 10 words to describe Ruth, loyal daughter-in-law pictures God's faithfulness, love, and care. Hallelujah. And details, please, about Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile woman, married into a Jewish family. When all of the men of the family died, Ruth shows loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, staying with her and scavenging food to keep them alive. As Ruth gleans barley in the field of the wealthy Boaz, he takes an interest in her and orders his workers to watch over her. Naomi recognizes Boaz as her late husband's relative and encourages Ruth to pursue him as a kinsman redeemer, one who weds a relative's widow to continue a family line. Boaz marries Ruth, starting a prominent family. And as we all know, who is that prominent family? It's the family of Christ, because Ruth is his ancestor, a Gentile woman. Jesus encompasses all. She is part of the family of God, a family of Christ, and one of five, only five, women mentioned in the New Testament in his lineage. Because most lineages are mentioned by father, but in this case, she's one of five mentioned in the book of Matthew by name. Come on now. And it goes on to tell us, it says, quotable, whether thou goest, I will go. I love this word. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, which we will be reading shortly. Whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, whew, my God. That's a highlightable. Unique and unusual about Ruth. Ruth from the pagan land of Moab marries a Jewish man and becomes the great-grandmother of Israel's greatest King David and an ancestor of Jesus Christ. They are behind what I already said, but you know, I love the book of Ruth, so don't get me started. So what? We can trust God to provide what we need. I got to share that one more time. So what of Ruth is, we can trust God to provide what we need, when we need it, and to work out our lives in ways that are better than we ever imagined. Can you get that? That is a woman. When we talk about this Women's Month coming up in May, you know, it's about moms, and I'm just making it into another Women's Month. We know Women's Month was passed, but every month is a Women's Month because God has made us all in his image, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and children, all of God. And so one more time, and then we are getting into the word. We can trust God to provide what, and I'm going to say all we need when we need it, and to work all our lives in ways that are better than we all imagined. I'm incorporating all today in what I do. Hallelujah. Thank you again, MGN Nation and Pastor Few. So let's get into this word this morning. We are again coming out of Ruth chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Ahimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Ahimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. And I can say as a widow, that's hard. That's hard to do what this woman is going through, to lose your husband, your support system, but then to lose your sons as well. As a mom of two biological sons, I don't know if I could be Naomi, because that's rough. You think that your children go before you. I understand how my mother-in-law felt. Her only son died before she did. How rough is that? So my condolences to any mom who has lost her son, because sons create the future of your family line. And if they choose not to in this day and age, many are choosing not to have children, not to get married, and family lines are dying because sons are not doing what sons do. And in this family, they lost everything. No children. She has no grandchildren. It's just her and these daughter-in-law. So Naomi is going through a rough time. So give her grace. And then as we go, it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters. But it grieves me very much that the hand of the Lord has gone against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Woo! She wasn't playing. She said, no, little old lady. I'm not letting you go by yourself. I'm not leaving you. Your God is going to be my God. Where you go, I'm going, because I'm going to take care of you. And the mother-in-laws out there, I pray you have daughter-in-laws that love you like that. I was blessed, so blessed, to have a mother-in-law that I love like that. A mother-in-law who took me in and said, call me mama. I was blessed that I had a great mother-in-law. The Lord rest her humble soul. On this Saturday, she will have been gone 11 years. This Saturday, 11 years since I lost my mother-in-law. Lost her on my niece's birthday. Oh, my godson's birthday. It's a rough day, but I rejoice in the birthday. I rejoice in the love that can only come from God. I rejoice in him. Hallelujah. Feel that breakthrough. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dwelt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean the heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to a servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the reapers who were in charge of the reapers answered. The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father, your mother, and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. But you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she said beside the reapers, he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. And do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And when it was about an ephah of barley, then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a blessed woman. And again, the goodness of God endures continuously. Covered Ruth. God covered Naomi. And just going back into some life lessons from this word this morning. And it says in the life lesson, and for those that are just joining us and talking about life lessons, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year for this year. And it is, and I'm coming out of the Signature Series, New King James Version. And so through this Bible, Dr. Stanley gives us life lessons, life examples that I share with you. And I will tell anybody, add this Bible to your biblical arsenal. It is so good to have. It is a great study Bible. If you're going to preach on something, if you're just wanting Bible study, this Bible is I have to have in your arsenal. And I'm not getting paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Stanley to hawk his Bible. But I tell you this, this Bible will change your life. And for those that have been with Moving Forward, this is our second year in this Bible. And I tell you, it has changed my life, given me insight that I have not had before. So I tell you, if you have opportunity, because they do sell out, is to get this Bible and add it to your arsenal of biblical knowledge. It's good to have different Bibles because then you can see, like the other day, I think we were reading King James versus NIV, and the language, the nuance of the word was a slight difference. So you have to read the whole thing to make sure that you get a word in context, because so many times we'll hear scripture, but we'll hear that scripture out of context. And what you think it means, that's not what it means, because you got to go back and read the verses before and read the verses after to see what is the Lord talking about, or what is Paul talking about, or what is Peter, James, and John, or Luke, or whomever wrote the word, what is Samuel talking about, what is Nathan talking about. You know, we got to read the whole thing and get it in context. So that is something that, you know, I'm a firm believer. Don't just read a scripture, read the context. And so as we go through this life lessons this morning, the first one is from Ruth chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Wondrous indeed is the grace of our God, who never forsakes the wanderer, but draws and restores with cords of love. Whatever you're going through, don't think you're by yourself. God is always with you. There's that all again today. Always with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And why do I say that? Because that's what his word says. We stand on the word of God. Everything else falls into place. God knows your needs. He knows your desires. He knows everything about you. And all you've got to do is stand on the word of God. And this is the next one. Life example. Naomi sowing in the midst of suffering. As Naomi looked at the shambles of her life, she could see only a barren field of sorrow. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been in this space. I've been in this place going through loss of husband, loss of mother-in-law, loss of a family member, all within 6 months, in 1 year, three family members, God. Power three, that's what they call it. But I just say it was their time. It hurt because all had a meaning in my life. And I tell you something, went through a dark period there of depression. And, you know, and every now and again, it rears its ugly head. I tell anyone, it is not easy when you go through because you don't even know it. It creeps up on you because that's what the enemy does. He creeps up on you, and it takes the light of God to show you the darkness that has been around you that you didn't notice. We got to ask God, give us light. Give us all of you, God. And this is what it says. So Naomi went into that dark desert place, yet she clung to the root of hope. Even though my sons and husband are gone, she may have thought, perhaps I may yet see fruitfulness in my life. We got to have that light of hope, and that comes from God in your life. But God had not abandoned her, and in time Naomi reaped a rich, unexpected yield of love. Her daughter-in-law Ruth looked tenderly into Naomi's face and declared her firm commitment to stay with her, even all the way to death. That's love. And Jesus loved us like that, even unto death. Naomi placed her faith in the Lord, and he provided for her. Whatever situation you face, the Lord is with you and can sustain you. Though there may be no fruit now, and grains of love and faithfulness you have scattered will produce a rich harvest. Will you preserve as Naomi did, and sow in the midst of suffering? Every seed that you sow, that seed of love, that seed of hope, that seed of joy, that seed of peace, that seed that you plant just with a smile, it will grow into a harvest, kindness, gentleness, patience. When you sow your fruit, wherever you sow it, believe me, you will eventually get a harvest. I am believing God for a harvest. I'm believing God that the fruit will bloom. I'm believing God for great things. And that's what we must do. Believe God for great things. Come expecting. And as we continue, it says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 21, the Almighty has afflicted me. Again, Naomi had hope, but she was going through. We all do. Hardship has a way of prompting us to believe that God has turned against us, even though we can see no reason for it. But God is good, and he knows how to turn sad stories into joyful ones. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, there was a relative, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Boaz had wealth but no wife. Ruth had poverty and no husband. Both demonstrated their commitment to God by their lives. And for such people, God loves to take deficits and turn them into unbelievable assets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ruth chapter 2, verse 15. Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Boaz did not act so gently to Ruth because he knew what was coming. He acted gently because he had made generosity a habit. That's just who he was, a generous man. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Proverbs 22 and 9. Let's say that again. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Proverbs 22 and 9. One more time to get it in your spirit. Proverbs 22 and 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Although a discouraged believer, many say foolish and rash things while in pain. That's the truth. God's grace within remains and erupts into praise. when he once more shows his favor, even this shows his goodness. God will come through. Even when you think you're at your lowest, God will come through and give you your highest. We got to trust God today. We've got to give God praise today. We got to lift those hands and say, thank you, Lord, for this day that you have made. I'm rejoicing in it, God. I'm not going to let the devil get in my way today. Not today, Satan. You got to start speaking it. And you start saying, Lord, I belong to you and you belong to me. I belong to you and I'm giving you all of me today. We got to give our all to God because the goodness of God endures continually. Don't think it's just a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. All you got to do is look on the bright side of things. So many times we're going through and all we can think about is what we're going through. Lord, you know I need money. I got to pay my mortgage. Lord, you know my check was short. Lord, you know I've been sick. Lord, you know, Lord, know all that stuff. All you say is, Lord, I know you will provide. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I know you will provide. And I tell you something. I'm believing God for provision in my life today. I'm believing God for my all-encompassing, that he will be there continuously. The goodness of God endures continuously. And let's get into our 52nd Psalm word this morning. So please join me in the 52nd Psalm, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. And it's to the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Amalek. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continuously. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. You love all divine words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. And we all know that Saul was chasing after David. And Amalek was preached that gave them, that's where we talked about, I believe, and Jesus talked about the showbread and the being hungry and how they were helped. And this is what, and then Saul went and killed the priest. I mean, Saul lost his mind there. Wanting more and more and more power, more and more, everything will make you crazy. And we see crazy going on in the world right now. All around us, crazy is going on because of power seekers. I want it now. Not people that love God, just power seekers. But I tell you this, be careful what you wish for because you might get it. All that power, absolute power, corrupts. You got folks that think they can get away with everything. But understand, one day, everybody has to give an accounting. Just like we talked about the servant, the one that didn't do anything. Well, I tied it in. I'm just paraphrasing. Well, I put it in tied it up and I buried it so that you'd have it back. And he said, you don't do nothing. Just took that one and gave it to the one that had the 10 and doubled it. Come on. You can't sit on your laurels. You got to sow your seed. Because you never know what your harvest will be. The one that did his diligence and doubled what he had been given was given more. And the one that did the least was given the least. We got to get up and we got to go to work because your blessings come from your work for God. We work for the Lord. We are sowing seeds today because the goodness of God endures continuously, but it endures continuously when we do what's right. David was letting them know, this deceitful, evil man has gone and reported back on my whereabouts to Saul, but understand, God, the goodness of God endures continually. David's like, I'm covered. You can do all your talking all you want to, but I know better know I'm covered. And as we continue in Proverbs 15:4-5, it says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We had the evil tongue over here in Psalms. You love all divine words, you deceitful tongue. The power of death and life is in this little membrane behind your feet. And so we have to be very careful what comes out of it. We have to be careful that we don't curse instead of bless. We got to lift up and not tear down. We got to have an understanding is in charge of everything. And this is what David tells us in our Solomon tells us in Proverbs 15:45. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness it breaks the spirit. Be careful what you speak to your children, your grandchildren, to those that are around you. Watch your tongue. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is rooted. You got to be willing to accept a correction. There are folks that get upset and leave churches because their pastor corrected them on something that they did that they know the pastor was telling the truth about. But they got mad because they got corrected. Huh, I ain't going back there. Pastor thinks that he know everything. And I don't have to deal with that because I don't care. So I'm leaving. And you done left your church because you got corrected, especially when you know you was out of line. You know you were out of line, but you didn't like the correction, so you leave. And then get mad when you go to the next church and get corrected for the same thing. Because you know you thinking you're going to run somebody's church when that's not your assignment. So you get mad and you out, I'm gone. He thinks or she thinks they know everything. Huh, I don't have to go to church that. And before everything is said and done, you done been to every church in the community, from the Catholic Church to the Apostolic. And all the pastors in every church is wrong but you. That's some self-evaluation that needs to be done. A fool despises his father's instruction. Oh, and I'll let you forget, you don't like your daddy either. But he who receives correction is prudent. We got to be willing to accept correction. Nobody's perfect. I know I'm not. I had to apologize for something I said and did because I had a little attitude, and God convicted me about it. Said, you know that's not who you are. And I'm like, you are right, Lord, forgive me. And I had to call and ask forgiveness because you got to watch this little membrane behind your teeth. It can get you in all kind of trouble. It can set fires that are hard to quench. We've got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. And let's get into our New Testament where we are in Luke chapter 19, verses 28-48. And it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find it, which one, which no one has ever said. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Jesus is getting ready for his entry and his eventual death. And it says this, and anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. And as they were loosening the coat, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosening the coat? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the coat, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. For there's that all again. For all the mighty works they had seen. Come on now. Saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out, 'Hallelujah.'" Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you especially, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. But days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side." And we know that that came to pass. Look at today's Jerusalem. This Bible is a lesson. And when you read the Word of God, you start seeing things that have come to fruition from the Word and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. And we all understand that some has been attacked many times. We all know the Dome of the Rock, where they say the Temple of Solomon once stood. We don't know for sure, but that's what archaeologists say. We know there's so much going on in that one little small city that can change the world. And all we can do is pray, because we know that our time is short. And because Jesus said it, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who brought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Jesus, everybody's like, "Oh, Jesus, so sweet and mild, Lamb of God." No, Jesus didn't play. And when he comes back, he ain't coming back to play. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. And he is not coming to play. Folks go see what Jesus is about. And it's not lovey-dovey, ooh, sweet, No, it's time to do what we got to do. It's time to do some house cleaning. And we got to all do some house cleaning. The cleaning of our souls, our minds, our spirits, so that we are ready to receive the Lord when he comes. But Jesus went in and showed out. He showed out in the temple. Made a whole bunch of people mad because they was buying and selling in the house of God. And we see it. You go to some mega churches, it's like going to a department store. It's like going to a department store. Got stuff everywhere. There's the CDs and there's the books and there's the clothes and there's the this and there's the that. And you're looking, you're like, "What in a minute?" And this is about supposed to be saving souls, but it's merchandise up to the ears. It's a whole doggone store in the church. You've got an ATM in the sanctuary. Come on now. And all you're doing is looking, and you think about this word. "My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Be very careful where you set yourself on Sunday morning or on Saturday evening. Know where you're going and who you're with. And it goes on to tell us, and he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. There's some folks wanting to do dirt in the house of God, cause of jealousy, envy, and knowing that their time was almost up because they were greedy and it was about them and not about God, making their rules and not the rules of God, following after their edicts and not the commandments and statutes of God and the laws of Moses, doing their own thing. We see it every day. Pastors, teachers, preachers doing their own thing and not giving God any credit for anything. All things come from God. And when we understand that and we remember that, that God gives and it's God that takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. who loves you, who is there for you. And as our word for this morning, the goodness of God endures continuously. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, Luke 19:44, life lesson, you did not know the time of your visitation. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And it says, how is it that in the vast majority of people alive in Jesus, they did not realize that they were in the presence of God in the flesh? Can I say that again? How is it that the vast majority of the people alive in Jesus' day did not realize that they were in the presence of God in the flesh? Did Jesus not tell them, I am? More to the point, do we realize when God is doing something special in our midst? Something to think about today as God is in your midst. Before we get out this morning, a prayer for today and something to think about. And our word for this morning on this 28th day of April. We're almost through the month, folks. We've almost finished a whole nother month. Wow. I can't even believe it, but this Sunday is the first Sunday of May. And this is the word that God has given for today. Accept the waiting. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Jeremiah 29:11, New King James Version. Prince of Peace, I pray this morning. You are the portion I need for my day. You fill me with the provisions of your affliction that carries me through every bump and turn that counter along my path. You never fail, Lord. When I am afraid, I will call on you. When I don't know where to turn, I face you. When I don't know what to do, I will trust you. I know that as I look to you, I will be filled with the confidence I need to keep going. You fill me with courage when I pray for help. I know that no matter what, you are with me. Why would I run away when your steady presence is the calm I so desperately long for? I won't run, Lord, except into you. I will leave the timing to you, and I will learn to rest in the waiting. May my heart find its respite in you. And the question for today, how does waiting make you feel? Wait on the Lord and know that he is with you through it all, and that he will never leave you or forsake you. And as we wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today from our sister is this: you do what you can, and God will do what you can. Have a thankful Thursday. Again, right on point. And I'm going to say her word one more time, maybe twice. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you do what you can, and God will do what you can't. Have a thankful Thursday. And our last one for the Holy Spirit: you do what you can, and God will do what a wrap. If there's anyone that has a word this morning that would like to speak, now's the time to raise your hand by pushing the number 1 on your device, and your line will be open. We only have about 5 minutes left, so let me pray us out. And if there's anyone that God has given a word, now's the time. If not, it is a wrap. And we pray. Father God, I ask for all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Never forgetting, the goodness of God endures continually for all of us today. Be blessed. And I have a word really quick from Evangelist Shannon. And Evangelist, your line is open.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. That's what I have on today. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. God bless you as well, Evangelist. Thank you so much, for he lives, and he lives in all of us. Hallelujah. Keep your all today. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today, because you are covered by the greatness of God. But what did you say, sis? He is alive today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I'm excited. I'm all filled up. So it's time to go to work. So have a blessed day, family, because this girl's got to go to work so I can pay the bills so we can stay on the air. So thank you so much. Thank you, God, for your all. Thank you, God, for your goodness that endures continuously. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Let's go to work.